Welcome on in to the Jazz Talk Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. Now, I know it's been a while since the latest episode, but hopefully we can get some momentum going here and get back onto, a pretty much daily schedule here. I know I keep saying that, but that's always the goal. That's always the goal, is to be on a pretty much, at least every other day. But anyway, before we get into the last couple of games for the Jazz did complete a trade today. Now, it's not anything major. It was mostly a move to reduce the Jazz's tax bill, open up another roster spot, which I figure they'll probably use to convert Trent Forrest to an NBA contract. I think he's earned it, and the Jazz have the ability to sign him to like a 4-year, $8 million deal like the Rockets did just a couple weeks ago with Garrison Matthews. In that contract, if the Jazz decide to do that, only this year is guaranteed. The next 3 years are basically a team option, so it gives the Jazz a lot of long-term security if they want to keep Forrest around and keep him at a very cheap number. But if he, if he doesn't end up working out or they can replace him with somebody better, then, it doesn't cost them anything to do that either. That's just what I'm speculating. So the Jazz are at 13 roster spots right now. So by league rule, within the next 2 weeks, they have to fill one of those spots. You have to have at least 14 players on your active roster to play an NBA game. So a player being sent out is Mie Oni. He's being sent to the Thunder, along with a future second-round pick. Now, speculation is that the Thunder will end up just releasing Oni. So the move was more just to get the salary off of the Jazz's books. With where the Jazz are in the tax, it ends up saving them about $2.5 million to move off of Mie Oni. But, Oni has a chance with the Thunder. If they decide to keep him around, they're a very young team that's in search of just anybody that can play basketball. And I think he's probably better than at least half the roster with the Thunder. He could actually make an impact for them. It's just with the Jazz, he was basically like the 12th guy at this point. So let's see, we have the main eight guys. You have Rudy, Gobert, Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal, Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, Joe Ingles, Rudy Gay, and Hassan Whiteside. And then you also had Trent Forrest. And Jordan Clarkson. So there's nine main guys, and then Trent Forrest makes 10. And then Eric Paschal had become the 11th guy. So that makes Mie Oni the 12th man on the roster. Maybe even the 13th behind like Elijah Hughes or Jared Butler. So it had gotten to the point to where it just made sense to move off of his salary. Create the space for themselves. To have just a little bit more leeway with the tax. But anyway, so with that, we're going to talk about the Jazz's last three games. So the first one, which happened on Friday, New Year's Eve, I was actually at this game. It was the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, the Timberwolves had two of their main players, Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, out due to COVID. So it was really Anthony Edwards and then all the role players on the team. The Timberwolves, you could tell, especially when Rudy Gobert was in the game, were afraid to attack the basket. They put up a lot of threes in this game, way more than what they would normally put up. And they had decent success with it. Up until the third quarter, this game was actually really close. I think it was tied at going into the fourth. And then the Jazz, especially Donovan Mitchell, decided that it was time for the game to be over, for them to take control. Donovan Mitchell ended up with 39 points in the game and just absolutely completely took over in that fourth quarter. And the Jazz end up winning by, I believe it was 13. I think it was 120 to either 106 or 107. Then the next game they played the very next night against the top team in the league right now by record, the Golden State Warriors. The Jazz were without Hassan Whiteside due to concussion protocols. He got a concussion in the Minnesota Timberwolves game. And they really could have used him. In the minutes that Rudy Gay was in there at center, the Warriors really attacked the basket and were able to get some easy looks. Rudy Gay, he's a fighter. He does not have the same impact around the basket that Rudy Gobert and Hassan Whiteside do. The Jazz really fought hard. Mike Conley had a great game. Rudy Gobert picked up a lot of rebounds in this game. Donovan Mitchell wasn't amazing in this one, but he still, put up 20. But in the end, the Jazz, came up a little bit short. Steph Curry was amazing. The Warriors were able to shoot over 53% from three in this game. So it's not a bad loss. I mean, this is a really good Warriors team, and the Jazz were without one of their main guys. So nothing to feel bad about in that loss. And then finally, they played on Monday. So last night against the New Orleans Pelicans, in this game, the Pelicans were without Jonas Valanciunas, and the Jazz pretty much, they didn't really dominate this game. I mean, they could have, but they're still up by, about 10 points, throughout the entire game for the most part. And it really was just never a contest. The Jazz just had so much more talent on the floor than what the Pelicans could put out there. The Jazz were without Hassan Whiteside again because of concussion protocols. But Rudy Gay had a better game in this one. I think mostly because he was going up against guys like Willie Hernan Gomez and Jackson Hayes at the rim instead of like Kevon Looney, Draymond Green. Or not Draymond Green. Draymond didn't play for the Warriors in that game. Or any of the Warriors' wings. But in their last 10 games, the Jazz are 7-3. And, did a little quick math on that. If the Jazz could maintain 7-3 for every 10 games, that's 56 to 57 wins in a season. And that's usually good for usually at least second in the Western Conference. You don't want to see them losing games, especially the ones that they should win. But as long as they can keep that good, 7-3 rhythm going, and then every now and then put together a good winning streak, or every now and then go 8-2 or 9-1 in a 10-game streak, then the Jazz will be just fine. I would like to see them complete some sort of bigger trade to bring in a player that can have some impact on the floor for them. But in order to do something like that, you have to trade one of your players of impact. So I know the Jazz are going through a lot of different options, right now, trying to figure out what they're going to do going forward. The trade deadline is about 5 weeks away right now, so they have time. It's just, if they're gonna make a move, they got to start getting, the building blocks of a trade put together here pretty soon. But with that, I'm gonna go ahead and end this episode. I know this is a shorter one, but I really just wanted to get something out so that we can get the ball rolling again, get some momentum moving. And keep the podcast going. So thank you so much for listening. Have a great day, and go Jazz!